You good?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's get started this morning. We are a little bit late, so we'll get going. Any prayer requests for this morning?
I'm too tired looking at internet. I probably ask God to help. We're looking for a dog, so.
Oh, what happened to Misty?
Misty passed away.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry to hear.
So we're looking for a dog.
It was really cool what your son shared yesterday. That was cool, right? Wasn't that like really cool what he shared about mom's love for Misty? Right? It was something to the effect that he said, Mom, why do you take care of this stupid dog? That this dog is the opposite of what a good dog should be. This dog is what? Why is he a bad dog? He doesn't eat well. He messes up the yard, right? I'm assuming he's not a good dog. And he said it to his mom, like, this is Milton. I was like Michael to Mabel. Milton to Mabel. Hems is a problem. Milton says, Mom, why do you even love and take care of this dog? And what was her response, Milton?
Basically that that she'll never give up on my dog. Just show that she'll never give up on me.
Yeah, right. So she said, I'll never give up on this dog, to also show you that I'll never give up on you. That was a blessing to me. There was many sharings last night that we didn't have a dry eye. Let's just put it that way. Except for the cold-hearted, you know. Cold-hearted, or if you're just Chinese, you know, you don't cry as much, but I did. I cried. Takes a real man to cry. Remember that. Let's pray for internet searching for a new doggy for the Huang family. And anything else this morning?
I want to praise God. Remember a couple months ago, we prayed for my college daughter.
Yes.
For her five exams. And her mom even took a day off prayer. And she passed.
Okay, amen.
Praise God. She was almost, the daughter almost had a nervous
breakdown.
Yeah, I do. And she was so happy.
Yeah, good. Okay, praise God. If you're having trouble giving thanks, we'll talk about that later, okay? I mean, thanks in this particular season should be flowing off of your lips, right? So if we struggle with that right now, we might need to re-engage the Lord, right? If we're not a very thankful people. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, and we gather in your presence, and we do with all confidence and boldness trust, Lord, that you are going to speak to us today. As long as we offer our heart to you to be spoken to, renew us, Lord, renew our minds, and continue to transform us into the image of your Son. Lord, we pray that as we go through our daily devotions, as we have gone through very quickly the book of Amos and Philemon and now Nahum, Lord, I pray that you would use these books and particularly also these Sunday school classes to help us get a overview and a perspective and perhaps even how your word, not uncannily, just providentially, all links together. Father, we thank you for the beauty of that. And I give this morning into your hands, Lord, from this moment forward, I pray that each of us are giving you ourselves, that we would hope that our hearts, our life, are like soft and malleable clay in your hands, that you would shape us today, you would speak to us, you would even cut away the parts of our life that are not supposed to be there. But as we offer ourselves to you today from this point forward, we pray that you would do a mighty work in our life as we open ourselves to your word and the power of your loving spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so we rushed through the end of Amos and Philemon last week, so I wanted to give you guys an opportunity. What was the message of Amos? What was the message of Amos? Amos, you can tell me about the background. We don't need to know that because we talked about that already. What was the message? Remember, at the end of last week, I broke it down chapters 1 and 2, and then 3 through 6, and then 7 through the end, right? And we saw that he had a message to, you know, specific groups, right? So I want to ask you, what was the message of Amos, or what did you get out of the message of Amos? Remember, well, I'll give you guys a moment. What was the message of Amos? Remember, we looked at chapters 3 through 6. And these people, Israel, particularly the leaders, because of wealth in that country, began to act a certain way and treat people a certain way. And what was that? And then the Lord responded through Amos to say, I want something to flow like a stream through your lives. Okay, do you guys remember that? Okay, what was it? Okay, what was the message of Amos? Yes, that's the stream.
He's bashing on all the nations, and then he went to Israel and said, you guys, the rich people are taking advantage of the poor.
The rich are taking advantage of the poor. We talked about that slavery, right? We talked about what happens when sometimes we get material blessings, right? And we get prosperity and we get comfort. And what happened to the nation, the northern or southern kingdom was Amos talking to? I can't hear you guys. You guys just need to be like interactive with me. Come on.
Northern,
right? And northern kingdom and Amos. And because of prosperity, because of wealth and comfort, there starts to be social divide, which happens. And in the social divide, the rich started to take advantage of the poor, or even ignore the poor, or be indifferent to the poor. And what did God say? God said that this is not the way it should be. Justice and righteousness ought to flow from you. Why? Why was there such a great consequence to the people of northern Israel? Why was there such a great consequence? Don't be shy. Because they were set apart. There was a great consequence because there is a great what?
Responsibility.
And the responsibility of those called by God is the promise that God gave to Abraham. God chooses people out of the world to bless them. And he blesses them for themselves, yes or no? No. God blesses them so that what? They may be a blessing to others. And when we stop being a blessing to others, okay, that's when God's not pleased. Where in your life are you so blessed and you are not being a blessing to others? Where is God's blessing to you not flowing through in your relationships? Right? And so, God's message in Amos, what was happening? These Israelites are faithfully attending the temple. They're offering. They are doing religion. What was the name that I gave to this many years ago at one of our gospel camps?
Churchianity.
This is churchianity at its best. That is when we start doing church. And we are not in a thriving, real relationship with God. Make no mistake. one of the easiest traps for us to fall in is that we end up doing church. We play church. We come here. We get involved in all of the activities. We serve. You know what? There's a lot of churches that have those type of activities. And people might say, oh, our church is not lively enough. In Chinese, I've heard people said, this church is si qi, ten ten. Yes. I've heard that before. Oh, this church is si qi, ten ten. It's not like huo po. It's not like, man, look at the other churches that are so active. There's so much going on. Is that true for our church? Yeah, sometimes it's true. We are a little bit si qi, ten ten. We are a little bit not lively, right? We are a little bit less of an emotional church, right? With the exception of maybe me, okay? I'm like the emotional leader who's always losing it, right? Losing it in my temper or losing it in my feelings or whatever, right? But we are a little bit si qi ten ten. That's okay. Hey, God still loves us, okay? But should we then say, let's not be si qi ten ten, let's not be a kind of boring church, let's ramp up more activities, let's ramp up more fun, let's ramp up more, you know, should we do that? It's not also bad to do that, but we have to be careful because it's very easy for church, for brothers and sisters to start doing church, playing church. Okay, here we go, we're going to church, we're going to do it. We're going to do our thing. Oh, I'm serving. I have a meeting. I have a this. I have a that. It's very easy for us to fall in that trap, isn't it? And that's what's happening to northern Israel. But God hated them for showing this type of worship, for showing worship, because it was totally disconnected of how they treat people. Right? Does God care about how we treat people? You bet. Whether it is the poor, all the way to the person who sleeps in the bed with you every night. Hopefully you're married to them, if you do. God cares about how your relationships are, period. To the poor, to the socially marginalized, all the way to your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your friends, or your non-existent relationships with people. Right? God cares about relationships. And these people were showing all this church activity. They're showing all this display. And yet God hated them. God detested their worship. That's like you going in, Saturday fellowship, we got a good music worship set going on, and you just feel like lifting up your hands, or that's not you, that's me, right? And I'm just lifting up my hands in praise, and God's saying, I hate what you're doing. Stop lifting up your hands. Stop singing that way. I hate that. Because of the way you treat people. That's what was happening to northern Israel. You see that? Because a real relationship with Yahweh, a real relationship with God, real worship will result in what? Right relationships. Okay. When we get to Jonah, we're going to talk about that. Right relationships. Okay. Just remember that. Okay, see, I'm going to ask you guys, if you remember, what from Amos links us into Jonah. And I hope some of you say, right relationships. Because that is the message of Amos. A real relationship with God will lead into right relationships. Who do you need to ask forgiveness of? Who have you wronged? When was the last time you told someone that you're sorry? When was the last time any of you told someone that you're sorry?
Is that a like open-ended question? Or like you're just telling us?
Oh yeah, that's like, yeah, rhetorical for you guys to think of, right? Because I'm assuming it's not recent. For some of you, it might be like just yesterday. Amen for that. But for some, for probably the majority of us, it's been a long time.
We've been praying a long time for Abby.
Oh, something about Abby?
No.
Oh, you went, oh, right when I said, oh, we've been praying a lot about Abby. President's like, I know, you must be praying for her. Me too. I hope someone else is praying for Abby too. But praying for Abby because, you know, it's really neat that Bethany, when she's very young, by God's grace, she found a, you know, it's like first grade, she found a really good friend. And the moms got together, and they are Christian family. And the mothers made a big priority to keep these girls, like, playing together, you know? And, you know, because it's important to have good friends for your kids. And it's rare when God gives a good friend at a young age. And not so with Abby. Right? And Abby's always kind of, you know, made friends with these bad girls, you know, like all these friends that Abby's are friends of, their names are all the names of like alcohol, you know, Alizé. Jaeger, you know, it's like, actually, you guys probably don't even know those names, but it's like, Bex and I are like, no, what, like, why, this is totally 909, this is totally the land of the dirt people, like, how, like, why are you naming your children, like, after alcohol? It's like, horrible. So we've been praying for her, and this year, she found a good friend, because last year, she, there was a friend that apparently we thought was a good friend, but sounded like from Abby's side, she's really mean to her, really, really mean to her, really, really mean to her. Her name is Nina. And so we, you know, I'm an emotional dad, okay? Bex is like, you know, well, what is Nina doing? Like, why is Nina doing that? You know, it takes two hands to clap. And I'm like, Abby, people like Nina are the people that you need to stay away from. Nina, the Ninas of the world, let's be careful. She's, you don't need friends like Nina. I don't want anybody mistreating my child. That's the way I am. I'm like, man, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to find Nina. Where's that little Nina? You know? And long story short, Bex actually went to school. Because, you know, she helps out at school. They pray for school, they help out at school, and it was a good thing because this year, Abby actually found a Christian friend, a great Christian friend, Christian family. Well, you know, I'm not sure if these girls are actually all Christians, right? You know, they say they know Jesus, that Jesus is in my heart, but we're not sure about that yet, right? But she found a friend whose family is Christian. And they went to, you know, she already went to her church and everything. We're like, praise God, she found a good friend named Ellie. And they're very similar. They're both skinny little girls and they love little miniature things. And we're like, oh, praise God. But every now and then she'd be like, oh, Nina today. I'm like, you just stay away from Nina. Okay? So Bex is at school and she's like, huh. She's helping out in Abby's class and she's like, whose name is that on the top of the goodness chart? You know, you have the good students and the bad students. Right? Whose name is at the top of that list? Nina. Okay? Nina's a good student. She's grading all the papers. Nina keeps getting high scores. When you're finished with the test, you have a choice to go to the silent area of the room to quietly read. And Nina, when she finishes her test earlier, because she's a smart class, she goes to the back and she's reading quietly. Abby's not very high on the good list, okay? Because Abby likes to talk and socialize. After Abby finishes her test early, which she didn't do well in, she starts talking to all the people on her table, right? Gets in trouble. So Bex is like, I don't think Nina's a bad person. I think the problem wasn't Nina. The problem was Abby. I'm like, oh, can't be my daughter, right? But it is. It was my daughter. So I knew that, but I had to check in. So I was like, you know. So Bex writes notes for the children in their, like, little snack bags, you know, every day. And one day, I let her sleep in or something. You know, Bex rarely sleeps in. But she did. one day, and Abby goes, "Oh, Daddy, Mommy forgot to write a note." And I go, "Okay." She said, "Can you write a note for me?" I'm like, "Yeah, absolutely." So I wrote something that, you know, I said to my sweet Abby, okay, two things, right? You know, I wanted her to work on. I said, "Work hard today with all your heart, okay? Work hard with all your heart. Do your best." And I said, "Today, choose to be kind to someone who it's very hard for you to be kind to." Right? And I said, "Love, Dad." And because I was thinking about that, go Nina, right? And 2 days later, Abby came home, and we have this thing that I want to encourage all of you guys, by the way. Even husbands and wives, here's a good way to talk at home or talk with your children. Ask three questions so you get some deeper responses. Or if you ever do a small group with your family, you know, three questions to ask. "Today, what was something that made you mad? What was something that made you mad today? Today, what was something that made you sad?" Maybe it's the same thing. And the last one, "Today, what is something that made you glad?" And we do that with our children. We do that. We try to, you know, that's something that husband and wives could do, just to talk more, just to get into each other's lives a little more. Those are three questions you can start to ask. And so we did that. Yeah, I did that with Abby one day. And she shared with me as we were taking her to volleyball practice. She said, "Dad, I kept thinking about your note. And I did something really hard today." I said, "What'd you do?" "I went to Nina and I wanted to tell her that I was sorry. That I know that I've been a mean person to her." And I said, "You did?" She says, "Yeah, Dad. And it was so hard. It was so hard, Dad. Even as I was walking to her, I was thinking about saying sorry, and I'm like my feet are starting to get heavy." And, well, she didn't say that, right? But it's like she says, I almost couldn't go. I was walking to her, and I'm like, everything inside of me, Dad, was telling me to, like, not go. But I did. And when she says, "What, Abby?" She was like, "Nina," right? Because it starts to get hard. You're like, And she said, "Nina, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being mean to you." And I said, "Wow, Abby, I'm so proud of you." And you know what? And I said, "What did Nina say?" She said, "I thought Nina was going to say something mean back. But Nina said, I'm sorry too. Can we be friends again?" And she goes, "And then I gave Nina a hug and she hugged me. And now we're..." I said, "Oh, you guys like good friends now?" She goes, "No, we're not good friends, but we're cool now, we're cool." Right relationships. That's what God is about. That's what God is after. What relationships in your life are you not right? It's just not right. I don't think you want God looking at you being in church and saying, I detest what you're doing. You're showing all this churchianity, you're showing all this religion, but your relationships are not right. Okay? That's our great responsibility. That's how we are called to bless people. You guys with me? Amen? Okay. So, really, the message of Amos, we learned the Hebrew words. I'm not going to go through that. But Hebrew was, or Amos was about right relationships. And then, you know what I said last week? The book after Amos was the book of, which was also very interesting because Philemon is all about healing broken relationships. Philemon is a call to right relationships. Same thing. But it was about a who. It was Philemon was a, who was he? No, he was not. Philemon was not a slave.
Church leader?
Philemon was a church leader. His slave's name was? That's a cool name to name your son.
It would have been Jeroboam.
better than Jeroboam. Presence about a naked child, Jeroboam. And I said that to Mimi. I'm like, you know, maybe this will, we'll have parents' appreciation night one day if, like, Joshua and Milton are the counselors of our fellowship and they remember our little kids when we're all old. And Marcus and Jeroboam. Because Preston said he would name his son Jeroboam. But Onesimus is better than Jeroboam, right? Because Onesimus was a slave who ran away and ran all the way to Rome to hide. And very fortunately, or by God's providence, right, ran into who?
Powell.
Okay? Powell the apostle. And Onesimus gets saved. And he's on the team to serve with Paul. And then Paul goes, I have this letter. I need to deliver it. Who's going to help me deliver this letter? Of course, Onesimus, a great servant of the Lord now. He's like, yeah, Paul, I'll go for you. Where's this going to go? It's going to go back to Colossians. The church where the leader, one of the leaders of the church you ran away from. And Paul's letter to Philemon was, hey, don't look at this guy as a runaway slave anymore. Look at him as what? Your brother in Christ. And our question to all of you last week was, which of you, or which of the people at church, even? We don't even have runaway slaves in our church. But who in our church do you avoid? Who are people that you never, ever, ever talk to? Why do we keep talking to the same people? It's okay to have some fellowship. I'm not downing or frowning on you sitting at a table at lunch, you know, with your friend, your people, you know, like your people group, right, to fellowship with. I'm not frowning on, like, good quality of time, but hey, if you've been doing that for the last, like, 5 years, the same people, you never go and talk with other people, your other brothers and sisters in the church, I don't know. I think it's a little challenge for you, perhaps. Right? Come on. Right? I mean, once in a few years. How about once a year? Go talk with some new peeps. All right? There are people whose lives are being transformed and we never take the time to get to know them, right? And so this was just my challenge to us at this church. Not even just damaged relationship, which is really the context, but what about just regular relationships that we leave unattended, right? Okay, good? Okay, we're done. Amos and Philemon. That was the half class today. The other part of the class is, what is the book that you've been reading right now in devotions this week? Or did you guys read it yet? Yes, what was it, Savi? Try it, go for it. Nahum, very good, you got it, very good. See, you know when someone's doing devotions when they know it, right? She could have spelled out the name. Nahum. Nahum, a study of God's justice. Now, what I'm going to do with Nahum, I'm going to fly through it, okay? Because it is very short. And I'm going to give you guys about a 15-minute overview today so we kind of get what we were reading. And then we may, like, you know, just do a kind of review. You know, I like to do a little review for you guys each week to help sink the truth in deeper, okay? Does that help? And Nahum. What do you guys know of Nahum so far? Where is it? Are we talking New Testament, Old Testament, Saviera? New Testament, Old Testament. Who is it writing about? Do you guys remember? Anybody want to help Xavier?
Pretty sure it's Old Testament.
Old Testament, okay? Major or minor or historical or what?
Prophet. Minor prophet.
Is it a prophet?
I think so.
Huh? Minor, okay? Because he's not as important, right?
No.
Why are minor prophets minor? They're just shorter, okay? They're not tall. They're vertically challenged. They're... Was he Chinese?
No.
What was he? The length, right? The length. Okay. All right. What was Nahum about? Let's help Xavier out. If Xavier remembers, what was the main city? Look at this city right here, walls. What was the main city that Nahum is writing against? Nineveh. Okay. And so what do you guys know of Nineveh? What do you know of Nineveh? Nineveh. Raise your hand. Okay, Nineveh. Everybody, if I say Nineveh, you say?
Jonah.
Jonah. Cool, right? We're going to do Jonah in like very soon. Right after Thanksgiving, I'm going to start the Jonah series, which is really good. I love that book. And what do you know about Jonah and the Ninevites? Because, by the way, there's no J sound in Hebrew, right? It's Yah, Jonah. You know who made the J's in the biblical language for our English?
Joshua.
No. It was Yahshua, which sounds like Yeshua. And Yeshua is, right, Jesus. Okay? So Yahweh is what I always say, but Yahweh is now often said.
Yahweh.
No, not Yahweh. That's Yahweh, dude. Yahweh is now often pronounced in the English language as what? Jehovah. Why do we add the J? Why is Jonah Jonah? Why do we add the J? The Germans did it. The Germans. The Germans. Germans did it. Okay? Lot of great theologians, a lot of great Christians coming out of Germany. Okay? So, pre-Hitler, right? World of Germany, obviously, but the Germans. They had the J. Try not to say Jehovah if you don't need to, right? Say the Hebrew, Yahweh, right? Or Jonah, okay? Okay, so what do you remember of Jonah and the Ninevites? What do you guys remember? Give me some facts. Jonah, Nineveh. Nineveh, good city, bad city?
Bad
city. Jonah, good guy, bad guy?
Meh.
Okay, we'll talk about that. Is Jonah a good guy or bad guy? Okay, let's figure that out. Nineveh, though, good, bad. Bad for sure. How bad on bad? Like, so kind of bad, very bad, very, very bad.
So bad you don't want to go there.
So bad you don't want to even go there. Okay, Nineveh was a bad city. What about Nineveh do we know? Besides they're very, very bad. Beautiful, Auntie Kim. Assyria. What do you guys know about the Assyria? Assyrians. What do you guys know about the Assyrians? What is Nineveh? Nineveh is in Assyria. What is Assyria? Good? Bad. Really? Okay. Bad, kind of bad. Bad, very bad. Bad, so bad you don't want to go there.
Sort of bad.
Sort of bad?
Yeah, because like God used them.
Okay, God used them, so they're sort of bad. They're not really bad. Because God used them. Because God doesn't use the really bad people. Okay? Check this out. This is the Assyrian Empire. Okay? Everything where you see those lines, it's shaded. One of the largest empires in the ancient Near East. Okay? A&E. Okay? One of the large... Okay? And where is Nineveh? Huh? Where? By the sea. Nineveh is by the sea. Which sea?
Mediterranean.
The Mediterranean Sea. Kai, okay, point me where? Okay, can't be here because this is Jerusalem. This is Israel. Okay, Kai, where is it at? It's here, right? Kai's like, okay, it's here. Good. Nineveh's actually over here, okay?
Oh.
And where I covered it up. You know, whenever I cover something up, you got to be like, ah, I'm a little suspicious. Okay. So Nineveh's here on the Tigris, a very, very, you know, you guys remember Fertile Crescent and all that stuff? I mean, this is a great area of land. Assyrians... In history, remember when I preached or taught you guys about the book of Acts, right? That God was preparing the way. We have these major empires in history that God used each empire to do something, right? Remember? And one of the greatest empires that God used was Assyria. What was another empire? Babylon. Babylonian Empire. What was another empire? The Greek Empire. What was another empire? The Roman Empire. Good. Who came first? Romans? Greeks? Babylonians? Assyrians. Uncle Freeman says Assyrians came first. Who came second after them? Babylonians. Who came after that? Greeks. Romans. Okay? Assyrians were a major empire. You said good or bad? You guys said bad. Very bad. What's cool about the Assyrian Empire was there was so much history captured. Okay? Because you would have things like this that's sitting in a British museum right now, which is called one of the king, Sennacherib's prism. Okay? And so all this stuff is like history books. I mean, we have so much on Assyria, and for those of you who still doubt the Bible, there's so much mention of the wars and the captivities and all that stuff that is written in the Bible, right? But by non-Christians, by pagans, you see? They're conquering of the Israelites all covered, which is why this is very important for Christians as proof text to say, look, there are other people in the world, ancient history, that's also writing about the same wars and everything that we all know about. Okay? So it legitimizes our scripture. A lot of evidence for that, right? So Nineveh was what? Nineveh was at one point...
capital.
Good reading, okay? It was the capital of the Assyrian Empire during a particular time. And that's why Nineveh is so popular in our language, okay? But I'm going to give you a little background that I'm going to do again later because it's important for you to know. Whenever we talk Nineveh, and Joshua said that Nineveh was so bad that you don't even want to talk about it. Why was it so bad? What do you mean by that? Was it just wickedly corrupt? Was it morally, ethically bad? What was the deal? Was it like morally bad? What did Jonah say about it? They were so bad that they don't even know their right from their left, is what Jonah said. Remember? They're so ethically backwards. Okay? But let's go beyond that. Because in the book of Nahum, if you don't remember, you probably don't, it was even called the city of bloodshed, okay, or something like that, okay. Here's Sennacherib's prism. I just found this on my Bible program stuff. It's pretty cool. Here's how bad they are, okay. This is my first graphic, okay. This is their graphic, kind of sketched over in pencil. What does that look like to you?
Bunch of heads and people clapping.
Right? Are people just standing down here listening for teaching? As that was what's going on, there's like a crowd of people. No, this is the heads of people. Okay? The entire history of Assyria is filled with the reign of violence, terror, torture, and killing. They took pride in the way they killed people. This was... I don't know if you can think of any movie that you've seen where the bad guys are so bad and nasty that you almost go, oh, that is beyond imagination. That's the Assyrians.
when they conquer cities that do not want to give in to them, they are the type that want to make an example for everyone else. That's why their empire grew so big. Their empire grew so big, not because they were so nice and they would like treat all these, you know, cities and win them over with love. This is pure Reign of Terror style. I stopped watching the show Game of Thrones because I thought it was just too crazy. But who in Game of Thrones, if any of you guys watch that, is like just evil to the point of... You guys watch that? Okay. So yeah, good. Good, I'm glad. That was a test. Not a good idea. Some other people at our church watch that. Okay, so this is the way they rule. They want to do things that make people go, oh my God, that's so gross. So one of their common things was they would behead. They would behead people, put them on stakes. You know, have you seen those things where like, as you ride into the city, you see all these heads on a stake? Okay. But then that got kind of boring. So they started to have a reputation of filleting people. What's filleting people? It's basically taking their skin off while they're alive. Okay? They would take the skin off of people while they're alive. Okay, that's flaying people. They would impale people. What's impale? Do you guys know what impaling is? Okay? So it's like stabbing in the middle, right? Like hanging someone on a stake, stabbing in the middle. But, okay, how many of you can't handle like really, it's too strong, it's too gross, it's too powerfully disgusting? If you cannot handle it, then I will. Okay. But these are pictures. These are the heads on the stakes. These are the Syrian, what do you call this stuff? Help me.
Soldiers?
What? No, these are not hieroglyphics, dude. Huh? These are what? Yeah, stone tablets. You call them,
Photographs.
This is their Instagram of their day, okay? They put head, this is a picture of the Syrians flaying tribes in Africa, right? Or, you know, that type, you know. They would impale people, right? Put them on the sticks. But there's another picture that was too graphic that I thought was for the class. That they would, in recorded annals, they would actually let the point part of the stake, they would put people on the point from their behind hole and let the weight of their own body slowly, slowly, slowly go through their body as a way of torture. And then they would have these bodies lined up to basically these stories get around. So by the time they come knocking on your city door, hey, we like to come in and take over your city. Yeah. Come on in. Right? I don't want to see my wife and my daughters being raped by you guys over and over again. I don't want to see my father being put on a stake. I don't want to see my friends' heads being cut off. Yeah. Come on in. That's a good idea, right? That's how they ruled. This was a nasty, wicked people. You guys with me? Okay. One historian wrote, "The Assyrians created the world's first great army and the world's first great empire." Sometimes when we see those words, it's great. We're like, wow, great empire. But actually, theirs was held together by two things. They had superior ability in siege warfare. I won't explain that. And their reliance on sheer, unadulterated terror. That was their recipe for success. Okay? This is to help us know how God wants to deal with these type of people. Okay, you guys with me? The purpose of the book was to pronounce the doom of Nineveh. The doom of Nineveh. Right? It was a judgment against Nineveh. And Nineveh is, Nahum is broken down into three chapters. And this is Chuck Swindoll, who does great Bible book charts.
Okay? He's kind of like a standard in, he's not only a great preacher, a great storyteller, very great illustrations and everything. If you guys ever hear Chuck Swindoll, not everybody likes him, but I think he's just to me, pastor, preacher, heart. I mean, just a great stories and everything. But he split up into 1 and 2 and 3. Chapter 1 is really about the attributes of God and what's happening in the world and, you know, and God's attributes. And the second is the judgment of God. Okay? And if any of you really ever like to get technical, I might even break it up into 1, 2, and 3, but I didn't have time to put together a chart for that. Okay? So this is kind of roughly what it is. Now, what I wanted you to do is I want you to open your Bibles or your book and look at chapter 1. And we're not going to do this in groups right now because we're going to be out of time. But give me some of the attributes of God that you see in Nahum chapter 1. And you know what I did one time? I didn't bring my Bible, but I had a Bible about yay big. Let me say, see, Serena. Actually, it looked exactly like N.T. Kim's, so I'm just going to use that one. Right? I had a Bible like this that I would carry around. ESV is actually exactly this one with like leather. And it was just my carry around Bible everywhere I went. And what I did one time when I went through reading the whole Bible is I highlighted every name and attribute of God. And that's all I highlighted in the whole Bible. I just, you know, as I was reading through, anytime I found a name of God or attribute of God, I highlighted it, you know, with like blue highlighter. And so it's a great process. I want you to go through right now Nahum chapter 1. And I want you to start to call out and circle, highlight in your Bibles and your phones, whatever. What are the attributes of God that you see in there? Okay, let's shout them out. Okay, it shouldn't be that hard, so go ahead and rip through those, guys. Go ahead, start shouting them out. Snow to anger. Slow to anger.
Jealous.
Wrathful.
Powerful.
Vengeance. Vengeance. Avengeful. You're right.
Great in power.
Good. Daniel giggles. Good. Okay. Okay, let's say those again. Whoever said it, go ahead. Slow to anger. God, say God is slow to anger. Okay, each person who shouted one out, say it again in the same order. And say, God is. Okay, let's all listen together. You don't have to read anymore.
God is slow to anger.
Okay. God is, and who is next?
God is jealous.
God is a jealous God. Listen. Stop looking. What else is God?
God is powerful.
God is powerful.
God is good.
God is good. God has... You didn't say yours, Nancy.
God takes vengeance.
God takes vengeance. What else? Guys, think about this. God is slow to anger, yes. God is good, yes. God is powerful, yes. But God takes vengeance, yes. Is this picture of God accurate? Yes, it is. See, sometimes even just speaking out who God is, isn't that so powerful? This is our God. And so if this is our God, is this the right picture of the God who, when he looks at a nation, at a capital city that is driving the nation to such deplorable depths of wickedness, how do you think God feels about that? How would God feel, guys? How does God feel about that? Anger. Wrath. He is fed up with that. That is the reason why God sent the flood, because of wickedness like this. God detests this. And so God pronounced judgment on this. But I wanted to ask you,
if this is an accurate picture of God, how should this picture affect us today? How should it affect you when you start thinking about the attributes of God? When you start thinking about who God is and you start speaking it out, can you just stand before him and be willy-nilly and be like, yeah, God is my buddy. Oh, come on, God, we're cool, right? How should you treat God in your relationship? What, are you missing the reverence? Are you, when we thought about right relationships and how God also detests when Christians don't have right relationships, are you just like, whatever, God, whatevs, right? Or do you take it a little more seriously? This whole story is about a people who stopped repenting. Did Nineveh repent? Yes. Yes or no? Was that good or bad? When did they repent? Jonah. Right? But they stopped repenting because that's what happens to people. Why do you think repentance is such an unpopular topic for Christians today? Why do we almost never hear the word repent anymore? Why do you think it's unpopular, guys?
Pride.
Hmm?
Pride.
Pride, spiritual pride. Why do we not hear the word repent? Anybody do a Bible study on repentance recently? When was the last time you did a Bible study on repentance? I mean, we do crazy Bible studies at this church, don't we? In the Chinese group, have you guys talked about repentance? Recently, just did a Bible study on repentance. Not a whole Bible study, right?
No.
Okay.
If some behavior when you read the Bible, you find something wrong. This is a kind of repentance?
Yes, right, exactly. Because it's all, Jesus says the word repent all the time.
Because it shows us how ugly we are, and then also in a sense like we tend to just think of God as just loving, caring, but not as one of wrath.
Because it makes us feel uncomfortable, ugly. I mean, you want your church population to go down real fast? You want the kind of people who want to come here to have a good activity and a church that's not cheap sense, right? You want people to come? All right, now we got like 500 people in our church. This is great. All right, Pastor Alex is going to talk about repentance today. Boom, half the people are going to leave. Because Jesus said, repent and leave everything and follow me. Okay, I'm going to go to that other church that's got some good activities, right? We don't hear that because it makes people feel uncomfortable. It makes people feel bad. So, what about you? Are there any things that you know exist in the Bible, but you've been ignoring it? Haven't we ever ignored stuff in the Bible? Where we kind of go, yeah, I'm going to kind of pretend I didn't read that one. You know, I'm going to pretend, you know, I want to focus on the love right now, okay? I need some healing. Yeah, I need some love. And that's okay. Like, sometimes we need loving, okay? Like, come on, you know, I don't even need to snap myself with my rubber band to remind myself that we want to be a people of grace and love and compassion. We do, absolutely. But we also can't ignore certain things in Scripture and not even not teaching certain things in Scripture. But what about you? What are some things that you know you need to work out? You know you need to just obey. But you're like, I'm going to kind of just forget that. And if you're as good as I am, I can forget stuff really well. I'm good at forgetting stuff. Bex also said that I'm really good at not seeing things. Okay, so when something's not clean, I could easily not see it and be like, oh, life is so good. I just don't look in that area. Right? If you're like me, you can do that. Okay? If you're like Bob, you can't. Okay? When Bob has a sock
lying in the wrong place, he told me he is going to get up out of bed. I need to go. I'm so tired, honey. Oh, that's. Sock needs to go in the hamper. You know? Right? That's Bobby. Okay, if it's me, I'm like, oh, I forgot to take off my socks. Here it goes. Woo! Here it goes. Right? Right? That's why Bob can't be married to me. That's the second reason why Bob can't be married to me, okay? See? But we have a tendency to want to forget and not see things. What area of your life are you not repenting? Where you are, oh, that would have hurt me to get that anyways. What area of your life are you unrepentful? Is there an area, are there things in Scripture that you've been ignoring? You've been just saying, you know what, I'm going to work on other stuff. I don't want to think about that. When I read the book of Nahum, this challenges me. This challenges me. Okay? So I want to leave that with you, and I want to encourage you that is what the Holy Spirit is all about. Okay? The Holy Spirit is about shining light in your life and giving you conviction, but not a conviction to make you feel ugly. Not a conviction to make you feel uncomfortable, yes, but ugly, no. Right? The Holy Spirit wants to convict you to make you feel sometimes uncomfortable, but the Holy Spirit of God will also say, my child, hey, don't try to do that without me. Like, I'm here. Do it on my strength. Repair that relationship with me. I want to be there to help you. I want you to see how wonderful it is that when you are transformed from this and you are no longer a person of this, I want you to know that it's because Christ already has a victory. Right? And that you're going someplace and you have hope. And even if you mess up, and even if you ignored it, but now you're not trying to ignore it, but you still fail, that's why Christ died for you. And that's what the Holy Spirit says over and over again. So it's not an ugly process. It's not but it is uncomfortable, as Kai said. Right? So I want to encourage you. Go to the Holy Spirit. Ask Him, Spirit, what are the things that I've been kind of ignoring in Scripture? What are the things that I know that you've been calling me to do, but I've just been putting that away and not dealing with it? Help me. Help me to work through that. And believe that He will. Okay? That's a reminder that we get out of the book of Nahum. Okay, let's pray. Let's call. As Kai suggested, we'll let somebody pray for us in closing. Amen. Thank you, brother. Oh, goodness. Thank you. That's from breakfast today.